not only are we a full-fledged grocery store, but we cater toward minority and local businesses. In the past, it's been an issue for small mom-and-pop companies to get their products on the shelves of grocery stores. So we partnered with the only Black-owned commercial kitchen in Queens, which allows our vendors to make their food stuff there. And so they're able to legally be on our shelf. So it's really a paradigm shift for small businesses in Queens.
That was Ernest Flowers, owner of Ernest Foods in Southeast Queens, and this is Epicenter NYC. We connect our communities to news, information, and each other. I'm your host, Amber Castillo. In February of 2021, Ernest Flowers opened a natural and organic grocery store in the heart of Southeast Queens called Ernest Foods. Since then, the store has become a vital source for residents, offering sugarless, gluten-free, and organic products in an area where options like these are scarce. And while at first there was a trickle of customers, neighbors, or those who saw it on local newspapers, the business quickly cemented loyalty by going beyond standard customer service. Today, I sit down with Ernest as he shares his journey from participating in local farmers markets during the pandemic to establishing a full-scale grocery store. We also talk about his commitment to supporting other minority and local businesses and the broader implications of food access in his community. Before we jump in, a quick message.
Hi, I'm Carolina from the Epicenter NYC team, here to remind you to safeguard your fun, your plans, and your trips. Get vaccinated and don't let illness cancel your joy. It's your season, not flu season, not COVID season. You can schedule your appointment now and we can help. Send us a note at hello@epicenter-nyc.com or call or text us at 917-818-2690.
Now, back to the show. Here's my conversation with Ernest.
My name is Ernest Flowers, and I own a natural and organic grocery store.
I just want to say, like I had mentioned, I've been hearing about you at, you know, health committee meetings with people talking about food access and mentioning Ernest Foods when we're talking about food deserts. And yeah, in a health committee meeting in Southeast Queens, I've also been hearing about you from other small business owners. So what role do you think Ernest Foods has on access to healthy food?
Well, I think that in our area of the city or in our neighborhood specifically, we're probably the only store of its kind, you know, being a natural and organic full-fledged grocery store. We have many kind of health food or health stores that might have a juice bar in it or even vegan foods or things of that nature, but not a full-fledged natural and organic grocery store that many other communities have. And so we're very proud to be, you know, among those type of companies in our area. And we're able to give kind of an alternative for everything. So we have sugarless products. We have gluten-free products. We have products that are helpful for those who have diabetes, products that are supportive of people that have many different allergies. And so we're just able to really bring high-quality products that aren't usually in our neighborhood.
And as someone with a host of dietary restrictions, I really appreciate that. Can you speak about your community and how long have you been? Are you from the neighborhood as well?
Yes, I am from the neighborhood. My parents moved to the neighborhood right before I started first grade, actually, in the late 70s. And so I've been really blessed to even meet people I haven't seen since I was a child who remember my parents who lived across the street from us. So pretty powerful that they come back and this full circle, you know, I'm serving them with a grocery store in their neighborhood.
Can you speak a little bit about that? First, can you clarify, what would you call your community, and can you describe it or describe what it's been like?
We're kind of like in the middle of a area that many people call Southeast Queens. And when they say Southeast Queens, as opposed to South Queens or West Queens, you know, every name kind of has a underlying ethnic group underneath it or attached to it. So when they say Southeast Queens, they're really talking about minority, you know, African-American, West Indian, Hispanic folk that live in the area not too far from JFK. So we're in Southeast Queens, specifically in Jamaica. And the location of our store is kind of at the epicenter of Southeast Queens. So we have some very well-established middle-income neighborhoods like Cambria Heights and St. Albans. And of course, we're in Jamaica. Then you have Laurelton and Rosedale. We're really at the middle intersection of all of those communities.
And are you finding that a lot of your clients come from all these different neighborhoods in the general area?
Most certainly. They come from everywhere and every island in the West Indies and every state down south, you know, that their grandparents came from. So we really have a cornucopia of the whole diaspora.
And I heard from some of the residents in Southeast Queens I was talking to, as well as some small business owners, including Danielle Tapper, that there was an event y'all were hosting yesterday of some like small business owners whose products you have in the store talking to clients. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we're here. Not only are we, you know, a full-fledged grocery store, but we cater toward minority and local businesses. In the past, it's been an issue for small mom and pop companies to get their products on the shelves of grocery stores. One is because you have to be in a commercial kitchen to make many different products that are certified, that's certified by the Department of Agriculture. And we have very few commercial kitchens in Queens. The closest one that everyone knows is in Long Island City, and that's pretty far away. So we partnered with the only Black-owned commercial kitchen in Queens, Essential Kitchen, which allows our vendors to make their food stuff there, you know, sometimes at a discount. And so they're able to legally be on our shelf. So it's really a paradigm shift for small businesses in Queens, specifically in Southeast Queens, because now if you're a grandma who had a great recipe for sweet potato pie or apple pie that all the church people used to say, oh man, I wish you could sell this. Now, all of a sudden, you have a place where you can go manufacture that pie legally and sell in a store. Same thing goes for juices. Same thing goes for frozen foods, whatever it is. And so I'm very proud to be at the forefront of that.
Do you usually have events like this, like these personal touchstones of the small business owner speaking directly to the clients?
Yeah, we try to do that often. We met a lot of these folk, and this really started from a farmer's market. The Laurelton Farmers Market that was started right in the midst of the pandemic and was the only thing in town. It was outdoors and people came with their masks to the farmers market. And it was really a happening in Southeast Queens. And many of the vendors that are in my store now, I met at that market. And so we kind of continue that kind of small market feel in the store by continuing to have them promote their businesses and have that hometown market feel when people come in and be able to greet them. We find that that really ingratiates the customer to that specific brand or in person. And it's really a kind of a, we always talk about community, but it's really a community atmosphere when you have people crowd around talking about the product, talking about the weather and everything else. And it's really an awesome feeling to see that in the store.
Yeah. And at the Laurelton Market, you said it was in the midst of the pandemic. Was that before the launch of or the Ernest Foods?
We actually had we were one of those entities. We had a 10 by 20 tent and with our Ernest Foods logo, and we were selling organic fruits and vegetables, and people really gravitated toward it. And it's kind of like our litmus test, really, or our feasibility study. And people signed up. And we said, hey, if we opened a real store selling these high quality organic fruits and vegetables, would you come? And they said, yes. So the following year, we established Ernest Foods in February of 2021.
And what would you say is the are some of the most popular food items?
I think the most popular food items are most of our traditional items are, you know, oranges and lemons and other fruits and vegetables. The most powerful thing is that we have that on the sticker of each of these things. We have a number 9. And as most people know, when that number on your produce starts with a number 9, that means it's organic. And many stores that they go to, they'll see the numbers start with 3s and 4s, and they'll come back and say, I never realized all this time that I've been eating foods with so much pesticides and herbicides on them. That's something that we're proud of. And then also, we get a lot of international foods in as well. So this coming, in another month or so, we'll get mangoes from Jamaica, Julie mangoes and East Indian mangoes, which are a delicacy. And they may cost much more than the regular mangoes that stores get, but people will pay for them because they're just so sweet and delicious. And they're only here for a short span of time.
When did you start thinking about organic produce or, you know, the pesticides, all of this?
And during the pandemic, it just made you focus more on your immune system and what we need to do in order to keep it as strong as possible. Of course, we all grew up not eating this way all the time. But as we've gotten older and as things have kind of happened to us and happened to society, you know, we learn and we get better and we can do better. And so the pandemic really put a sharp focus on building our immune system.
And you talk a lot about as in the community. I'm curious about you personally. When you were little, did you think that you were going to be opening up this natural and organic supermarket? Yeah, can you speak about like your own upbringing and your own journey to thinking and doing this?
I didn't think about it, but I remember seeing an article a very long time ago. And it was a young Black man that had started a supermarket. I think it was somewhere in the Midwest that he had taken over from someone else. And I just, throughout the years, it was just remarkable to me that in all these huge cities, you never had a supermarket that was minority owned. So, you know, that was interesting to me. And I said, you know, we should at least have something that we own, that we can trust, and that we're sure is going to do the best for our community.
Yeah. What were the biggest challenges that, especially starting a new business, that you faced?
I would say, you know, things oftentimes, no matter how much you plan, sometimes things just don't work out how you envision them. And so you just have to be creative, no matter if it's finances, which is always the biggest thing when it comes to small businesses. You just have to be creative. And you have to do not let the stresses of life and your business stop you from doing the thing that's hard. And that's continuing to work, continuing to look for ways to prosper, look for ways to build your revenue stream, look for ways to be consistent. You just have to fight through that human, we're all human, fight through that feeling of despair, fight through that feeling of being tired, and just keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Could you be a bit more specific, like especially just you starting this business, right, where there aren't a lot of, like you had mentioned, right, like there aren't a lot of Black-owned supermarkets, starting in the middle of a pandemic, you know, in this economy, what have been some of the things that maybe you had to figure out or you had to like change a way of doing something or, you know, kind of rely on support also from the community or from your family?
Well, you know, when you're starting out with the store, sometimes, even though you have good intentions, you still have to abide by the rules of business. And it's not always just enough to say, hey, I'm a Black-owned company, and hey, I have great quality products for you. You still have to make it affordable. And so when we first started out, you know, some of our products may not have been as competitive. Not that they were that expensive, but they weren't as competitive as some of the local stores. But as we continue to fight and study and do research and have put our time in, we've found organizations and joined organizations that we can pool our resources together. And now recently we've connected with entities that allow us to sell, you know, over 100 organic fruits and vegetables at discounted prices that are competitive with any store in the entire state. Things like that are very powerful.
What are your hopes for the business?
I hope that we can just be sustainable, and not only in our practices, but also in our viability and being in the area, or that we can continue to reach as many people as possible. And if we get to that point where we have opportunities to expand, we will.
You can learn more about Earnest Foods by visiting earnestfoods.com. Also, make sure to check out our full article linked in our show notes. Finally, if you know of a local business that you think Epicenter should feature, let us know. Drop us a note at hello@epicenter-nyc.com. That's all for today. Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting us as we do our best to support our community. We couldn't do it without you. For more stories like this, make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at epicenter-nyc.com. Our intro music is All the Pretty Horses by Kara Vika. You can find more of their music on their website, linked to in our podcast description.